Joined now in the studio for the first time in 2015 by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Pleasure as always.
Indeed. Happy New Year,
Happy
Aaron.
Happy New Year to you. So what was your what did you do over the holidays?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't read as I didn't have that much fun. I didn't read as much as I wanted to.
Isn't that always the way though?
I had all these stacks of books. I packed them with me. I had them in the car. I downloaded a couple of my e-reader, but you know what I didn't read? So at the library, you can check out back issues of magazines.
Oh, nice.
I checked out a bunch of really just trashy magazines, and somehow I could carve out time to read those.
It's a Christmas miracle. So I've got a stack of books that is sort of accumulating and piling up. It's actually piling down because I've been making an effort to not acquire new books until I've read the old ones. And over the course of the last year plus, I've been sort of working my way down. I'm down to one shelf of books on one bookcase that is my list of books to read right now.
Wow.
I've got one in my bedroom that I've just started. I've got one in the living room that I'm reading. So I'm actively working.
Do you have one in the bathroom?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I probably should, shouldn't I? That's the best place, to be honest. But no. So what are your New Year's reading resolutions?
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But first, I was listening while I was coming over here to Robin and Linda Williams.
Yes.
They're awesome.
Aren't they awesome?
I'm a huge bluegrass and folk music fan, and here's the thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I didn't know they were on A Prairie Home Companion, the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it in theaters. It was a long time ago, but yeah.
Yep.
I really wanted to ask them what Lindsay Lohan is really like, but I didn't want to.
I totally should have gone there.
I totally should have gone.
But they're
there,
really nice people.
Yeah,
they probably would have said she's a lovely young lady.
She is a lovely young lady. Well, she was at the time. It was like 2005.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Robin and Linda Williams.
Yes.
Lexington, Virginia is my home, and my grandmother's house on my mother's side. She lived on the corner, and if you got through her backyard, then it opened up to this big green area it was woods and this huge area that was the remains of an old lime kiln.
Is there any story about Lexington, Virginia that does not begin with the phrase, my grandmother on my mom's side lived in an old house on a corner?
No, they all start that way.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Would be a great opening for a book, right?
Right.
So you would go down there. And so we grew up playing down there. Mm-hmm. It was abandoned. I don't even know who owned it then, but we would go like throw rocks and go down there and play Cowboys and Indians and all of this. And these really beautiful ruins. Well, when I was in college in the early 90s, somebody bought it and they turned it into an outdoor theater. So it was called the Theater at Lime Kiln.
Nice.
And the ruins of this lime kiln was the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin and Linda Williams wrote the music for a play called Stonewall Country that was their signature, that like every year they did Stonewall Country at this theater.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they did all the music. The theater closed a couple years ago. I think they're going to reopen it, but it was this really cool spot. And they wrote the signature piece for that. And they performed it there. And then it was performed by others for like 20 years or something.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was really cool.
Idea.
Yeah. They're really neat.
That's awesome.
Robin and Linda.
Yeah.
And so the other thing about them is I get a little tired of bands that do like on the road songs. Like, oh, it's so terrible to be on the road and life on the road is so hard. Their song was awesome.
Yeah?
It was
about how
beautiful.
Much fun it is to be
and
on
how
the
they
road.
Love each other even more. And
that's such a great song.
It was awesome. So
I'm just getting rid
good
of
Behind interview.
Blue Eyes. And thank you so much. Well, they did all the work. So
that's good.
I came in with like two questions and they just took it from there. So that's how to do interviews.
There you go.
Anyway,
okay.
So
enough about that.
Yes.
Reading resolutions
for this year. So I made a list of the books that I'm planning on reading this year. I assume that's what you meant.
I could have meant anything.
That's true. Well, I made a list of the books that I'm planning on reading this year. Like the big projects that I want to tackle.
Right.
These books have been sitting on my shelf for years and
you're
I'm
going
to do it this year.
Okay.
So go for it.
Okay. So I approach things a little bit differently. I don't necessarily have certain books I want to read. I generally do types of books I want to read.
Okay. Gotcha.
So let's see. The first one that I came up with was, every year I try and read a genre that I don't generally read. So a couple years ago, I was like, I don't really read Westerns. I love Western movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching Western TV shows like Deadwood.
Yeah.
But I don't really read Western books. So I read like three Westerns.
Okay.
So this year, I'm not...
What did you read?
Anything
that stood out?
Oh, yeah. I read... Lonesome Dove is an awesome book that goes beyond that genre. I read that. I read, actually, the book that the series Deadwood was loosely based on is by Pete Dexter, and it's called Deadwood, and that's a really, really good book. And then I just read some old, like, Zane Grey and what's the other
Louis
guy?
Louis L'Amour.
Yes. So I tend to go by genres.
Okay.
A couple years ago, it was romance.
Right.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So this year, I was thinking, and it's, I'm not a big sci-fi fantasy reader.
Okay.
So I'm thinking sci-fi fantasy is going to be my thing, and I think I
you
am going to choose
it up, do sci-fi this year
right.
and fantasy.
Right. I think
year.
I will.
Yeah.
But you have to tell me. So, but I was thinking for you. I know that this is one of your all-time favorite books. So this crosses over from just a particular genre that I want to read, but also books that I've never read that kind of are shaming.
Yeah,
I should have read them.
Yeah.
I've never read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I know is one of your favorite books.
It actually isn't one of my favorite books.
I thought
books,
it was.
The reason it's not
is Didn't
that...
I guess this at the summer reading kickoff?
Yeah, and you were wrong.
This interview's over now.
It's falling apart. No, Hitchhiker's Guide is a great book. I read it too late is the problem. I should have read it when I was 16, and then it would have been my favorite book of all time.
Oh, maybe that's okay.
It might be too late for you, but it's still a fun read. It's just not my all-time favorite for that specific reason, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I think sci-fi fantasy might be my genre. But
right,
I do always try and pick a genre that I
that's
don't
really cool.
read.
I like that.
And I encourage folks to give it a try.
Okay. I like that. So what other sci-fi books are on your list? I'm trying to rack my brain to think of like the great...
I don't like... my husband's getting into reading... He loves sci-fi. He's reading Neal Stephenson right now. I can't go that deep into things. I don't like super high-techy. I like time travel.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And maybe some robots. But not, like, that's about as far as I go.
So, Wrinkle in Time kind of?
We're reading that with my 10-year-old now.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yep.
So I am open to recommendations for sci-fi.
Illustrated Man? We've talked about the Illustrated Man,
yes.
haven't we, Ray Bradbury?
Right,
yeah.
right. But I'm thinking, like, modern sci-fi writers.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm the worst person to ask about this. Ironically, I look like the sort of person who would read sci-fi
Your
daily.
Words, not mine.
I should be reading it right now, but I'm not. I know... a friend of mine who received for Christmas, we had a white elephant party, and received for Christmas a literal shelf with nothing but Star Trek novels.
Wow.
All the way across, yeah.
I just like to have that.
Yeah.
Whether I read it or not,
right,
it would look cool.
Just hang it up on the wall and be like, done.
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't go for genres. I went for sort of project books.
Right.
And... I've got from years ago in, I guess it was 2000, the Modern Library Association came out with its list of the top 100 novels of the 20th century. And I've knocked out a few based on the fact that they're on that list. I read Ulysses based on the fact that it was number one. I read Gravity's Rainbow, or part of it, I guess. we could talk about that. But there was one on the list that I'd never even heard of, but as a political science guys, an American politics guy, there was one called USA by John Dos Passos, who is, as it turns out, like was a contemporary of Hemingway and Fitzgerald and Faulkner and was as famous as they were once upon a time. It's just sort of been forgotten now, but it's a trilogy of novels by John Dos Passos that is just this comprehensive look at, like, sweeping epic look at turn of the century and sort of early 20th century America, and much the same way as, like, Ragtime by E.L. Doctorow is this sweeping look at America at the turn of the century. That's one of my favorite novels of all time, and Doctorow wrote the foreword to the USA trilogy. So I just started that a couple of days ago, and it's three books, and it's probably, like, 1,000 pages.
Wow.
But that's my first project of the year.
That's a project.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah. It's good so far.
Good for you.
About 100 pages in, so...
You're a much more ambitious reader than I am.
Now. Well, I have it, though, is the thing. I asked for it for Christmas 4 years, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it's just been sitting there taunting me on my bookshelf for years and years. So that's my project for this month. I'm going to read those three books.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Godspeed. Good luck. Whatever you say. Have fun with that. Okay.
Right.
So the other, this isn't really a genre, but I also think that I want to try and read more nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really, my Netflix queue has been saturated with documentaries recently.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching some documentaries. So I was like, I should, and I've, quite frankly, I've been in a reading rut for a while.
Okay.
There's just one of those times. It's like, nothing's appealing. I pick something up. I don't finish it. So I watch a lot of Netflix and read trashy magazines.
Okay,
but I was like, you know what? I'm really digging documentaries. Maybe I should try to read more nonfiction this year. So I was thinking about what particular books I might read and also thinking about what's coming out this year. And I loved Devil in the White City by Eric Larson, which was the book about the Chicago World's Fair and also about the serial killer that was there. Huge, mega bestseller. So I have two resolutions based on that, or two books based on that. I want to go back and read. He wrote a book called Isaac Storm, which is about the hurricane in Galveston, Texas in the early part of the 20th century. So I want to go back and read that author's previous nonfiction book. And then in, I believe, March, he's got a new book coming out, and this is going to be a really big book, too. He's got a nonfiction book coming out about the sinking of the Lusitania.
Ooh, nice.
And he's a really great narrative nonfiction writer. It's not dry, boring history. It's really compelling. He's got a great style.
Like, there's so much going on around it, like the war and everything.
And that's
so,
what he does really well, is he brings in all of the other threads of the moment and of the history. So my resolution in general is to read more nonfiction.
Okay.
And those are two books. His previous book, Isaac Storm, and his next book, I forget the name. It's like The Crossing. I forget.
Okay.
It's about the Lusitania. It's coming out in March. That's what I'm going to read.
All right. Staying on the nonfiction track, I have, again, big American politics guy, wrote my dissertation on early American politics and just have this whole collection of American history. The forgotten period in American history is Reconstruction. And I have two classic, enormous books about Reconstruction. One of them is W.E.B. Du Bois' Black Reconstruction in America, like the original classic text, and the other one is Eric Foner's book, Reconstruction, both of which are incredibly dense and long books about this pivotal and forgotten era in American history. And as soon as I'm done with the USA trilogy, I'm dialing it back 30 years and reading about Reconstruction. So
wow.
And they are both.
I was going to start talking about zombies, but now I can't, because you're really
zombies.
Like, you're reading big, important books.
The problem is I've read all of the books. So I was like, all right, I want to knock something out really quick. This one's 200 pages. I'll pick this one. Done it a day.
Right.
Feeling strong, real sense of accomplishment. Now that I've done that, all of the books that are left on my I need to read this shelf are 800 pages, 800 pages, 900
pages. You should have spread it out a little bit.
I've got
Mix it up.
I've got Proust on my shelf.
Whoa.
That's going to be last. And it's only the first half. But it's the first half. It's like 1,500. I don't even know why I picked that one up. But it's on my shelf. I have.
I'm impressed,
now.
Though. Good for you.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome to set
Anyone
goals
can
like that.
Buy Proust. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. I think I got it at a yard sale for $1. It wasn't.
Many
even
are
all
called,
that.
Few are chosen.
Yes.
And actually, there was a book a couple years ago. I think it was a short book about the joys of reading Proust.
Yes, yes.
I forget what it was called, but it was all about why more people should read Proust.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't read that book either.
But I have read Alison Bechdel's Fun Home, in which she has a whole chapter devoted to Proust.
Right.
So. I have seen Little Miss Sunshine, in which Steve Carell plays this Proust expert.
Right.
He just
You're dancing around
back.
Proust.
Exactly. So now, and there's nothing more Proustian than dancing around Proust and not actually diving in. But there you go.
We're getting a little meta now.
We're getting a
Should
little
talk about
meta.
Zombies and
yes, talk about
vampires.
Yes, go for it.
So this is a real resolution for this year. I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I have a track record of reading like the first or second book in a series or a trilogy
and then
not
finishing it. Yeah. I was that
sometimes
way with the Hunger Games.
Well, I was going to say I was going to go there. The Hunger Games, I just got mad. Like 50 pages into the second book, I got really mad. I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore.
You got 50 pages further than I did.
Well,
I got to the end of the first one. I was like, that's a really good book, and I'm done.
So I was like, it's a really good book. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Right.
And semi-spoiler alert, because everybody's read them, right? What do? They just throw them back in the ring.
Yeah, well, the second movie came out, so now we can
spoil
it. Yeah.
So I was thinking, okay, what are some trilogies or series that I haven't finished that I really want to go back to?
Mm-hmm.
So one has zombies, one has vampires.
Okay.
So one is a book that came out a couple years ago called The Passage by Justin Cronin, and it's a big, fat, honking book, and it's sort of a literary take on vampires. What?
Now I've got I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett stuck in my head. Big, fat, honking books to put another dime. Okay, go ahead.
So it's a lengthy novel. It's a lengthy tome.
It's a lengthy tome.
Stop it.
The Passage. Keep going.
Yes, Justin Cronin. Really big bestseller. Really well received. I enjoyed it. I started a couple times, and then I finally finished. I was like, oh, that's really good. And then the second one came out. I was like, I should read that. And then this year, the third one's coming out. So I want to go. So now I read the first one, but I didn't read the second one, and the third one's coming out. It's been so long. My goal is to go back and reread the first one, then immediately read the second one, and get ready for the third one. So I got to see when the third one's coming out so I can time it all
time
right.
Time it just right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like March, April, May.
All right. Awesome.
But then The Zombies is... And I said that I don't like fantasy, and I generally don't.
Yes.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
So I resisted reading that. My husband loves sci-fi fantasy. One of his favorite books, he also likes historical fiction, like what's the Ken Follett book about when they built the cathedral?
Oh,
World Without End, the Tower, the Pillars of the Earth. The Pillars of the Earth.
Didn't even have to.
And he recommended it to me for years. I was like, oh, whatever, it's really long, it's really long. Yeah. Then I finally read it and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept recommending Game of Thrones. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's all fantasy and swords.
I'm not a big fantasy person either, but I got super into Harry Potter. I've read them all, and they're great. My only complaint about it is that, and the seventh book is the exception, nobody of significance ever dies. Like
Versus Game of Thrones, where everyone dies and then comes back and dies again. Well, right.
Practically, yeah. So everyone was recommending Game of Thrones to me for years and years.
Have you read it?
No.
Okay, so
I haven't even seen the show yet. So.
He kept saying you will love it. I was like, no, it's really long. It's fantasy.
Right.
And then I get like a chapter. I was like, well, you should have told me about the zombies. I'd have read it years ago.
Hey.
But I read the first two. I started the third one and got a little bit bogged down, and I love the show, and I'm like, okay, I got to get back into that. So my goal, I'm not sure if I'm going to be as ambitious as you and say I'm going to tackle both the Passage series and Game of Thrones.
I think just saying I'm going to tackle Game of Thrones just trumps everything that I said about about Reconstruction books in USA, because that is an ambitious series.
It is.
I'm not ambitious enough to start it. I'm not even ambitious enough to start watching the show.
Well, the testament to the great thing about the books is that the show, it's like verbatim.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they didn't have to mess with it much.
Which
the words on the
so
page are the words
do.
That you see coming out of the characters on the TV.
Yep.
So, there you go.
All right, so my last resolution, and this is less ambitious. Every year, Jim Hebner, who is the owner, co-owner, by owner of WCHL, gives Christmas presents to the staff, and it's almost always a book. And I have read all of the books that he has given me over the few years that I've been here at the station, but one. I've got one left, and I just noticed, like 2 days ago, that book happens to be in theaters right now. It's Unbroken.
Oh, yeah.
By Hillenbrand?
Laura Hillenbrand, yeah.
I did not realize that connection, so now I have to also probably as soon as USA is done.
Right.
So right at the time, at least
I have not read that book either. That could go on my nonfiction list.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't read or seen Seabiscuit either, which is our other big one.
Right.
But yeah, I've heard good things, and the movie is supposed to be really good. So
I do know that there – so I will not give any spoilers, but I do know that there are – critics of the movie because it stops and it leaves off a significant portion of the book.
Yeah.
So
I have heard that as well.
Yes.
So we'll see. I haven't really paid attention to the critics, so.
Cares about critics. Who needs them?
Humbug. Awesome. So those are my New Year's resolutions. Do you have any?
My last one was to read more North Carolina authors.
Oh yeah.
There's so many great ones.
Yes.
Just like, what's the phrase? You can't swing a dead cat and not hit a, or you swing a dead cat and miss something. There's some phrase out there about you can't swing a dead cat and not miss or hit or miss.
I think the word is shouldn't swing a dead cat.
Yeah. There's a lot of great writers in this area, especially in Hillsborough.
Yes.
Right?
I got to see Alan Garganis and Michael Malone do the Christmas Carol this year for the first time.
Oh, I've never seen that. I bet
it was.
So, and a lot of those authors, watch this segue into a shameless plug. A lot of those authors appear at our monthly Friends Meet the Author Tees.
Very nice.
So some of them who are coming up that are on my list is our Alexa Graydon, Joe and Terry Graydon on that other radio station that do the People's Pharmacy on NPR. Their daughter wrote a book that has been very well received called The Word I just had it up, The Word Exchange. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a dystopian view, but it's all based on the death of the printed word and what happens. And cool. There's a dictionary that there's like one printed dictionary that's still being produced. And the protagonist, her father, is the editor, and he disappears on the eve of the publication of it.
Nice.
In a world where it's all memes and digital stuff. So, gotten very good reception. She's coming in the spring. And another Hillsborough author, who I did not realize she lives in Hillsborough for half the time, is Frances Mays, who wrote Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yes.
She is coming to the Meet the Author Tea, I think in April.
Awesome.
Before she goes in summers in Tuscany.
Oh, very nice.
So those, I think I'm going to map out my Read More Local Authors resolution by reading all of the authors that are coming to the Meet the Author Tea.
That will cover it, I think.
Right?
Awesome.
And I'll feel just righteous then about all of this reading I'm doing.
Yes, I've read this book.
We should check in like July to see how our resolutions are going.
Well, I'm forcing myself to do it one way or the other. So hopefully by July I'll be done with all of these, but we'll see. I know.
We'll find out.
Susan Brown, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thanks. What else is going on at the library this week? Is there an event going on at the library this week?
There's always stuff going on at the library.
And you didn't even mention it
until
just now.
So one thing I will mention
is... What if I hadn't asked you? You would have brought these bingo cards in and then left, sadly.
I know. I'll talk about bingo in a second. But this Saturday, speaking of authors, mm-hmm. we are screening the documentary about Elizabeth Spencer.
Yes.
It is happening, I believe it's Saturday afternoon. It's on our website. I don't think Elizabeth is going to be there. She often comes and she's done a Meet the Author TV recently, but the producer of the documentary will be there.
Cool.
We are doing all kinds of stuff. Get on our website. But it's not too late to play Book Bingo, our winter reading program for all ages. So I brought the different cards. You can pick up a bingo card or get it off of the website. But what you do, like here's the adult card.
Uh-huh.
You can read a romance or nonfiction or fantasy sci-fi or whatever your choice is or listen to an audiobook. And if you get bingo across or up or down,
uh-huh.
bring this in
uh-huh.
and you write down your books on the back.
Right.
You get a free book from the Friends of the Library and you get entered into prize drawings. All of which I think are nice gift certificates to Flyleaf Books.
That's super cool.
So it runs through the end of January, and you can start any time. And if you read a book last week and you pick up your card this week, that book is fine. Put it on there.
Awesome.
And you can play to win.
All right. Will do. Susan Brown, Chapel Hill Public Library, thank you so much.
See you next week.
And stop by the library and pick up those bingo cards because it's still going on until how long?
End of January.
End of January. You still got plenty of time.